Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
Wonderful. So I'm really happy to hand over to Curie. And I did forget, I apologize, Curie, to remind everyone to have pen and paper ready. So if you have that there, just grab it quickly so that you're ready to participate in the session. But Curie, I'm going to hand over to you. Thank you very much.
Alison, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Hello, my name is Curie. Do let the team know in the chat if you want to be promoted. That's really helpful for me because then at the minute I've only got sort of four people that I can see. So I kind of think there's only four people, but I can see the numbers going up at the bottom. So that's great. So if you want to be promoted, just so your face is here, that's great. For some of you, you might want to share some drawings. There's no pressure to, so please don't worry about that. So I'm going to take us to a slideshow. So my hope is that you will see my screen as the slideshow and I'll be in the corner depending what speaker setting you have. Okay. Okay, so I haven't got masses of slides and I've a lot of it is pictures, images. I'm just checking what else I can see. So I can see the chat if we chat, I think. Anyway, I'll wait for Alison and Rebecca to just chip in as we go because I've just got silence at the minute. So wear comfortable clothes, come with an openness to exploring. Bring paper and pens. Now, if you kind of think, oh, I haven't got anything with me, all I'm talking about is, you know, plain old paper and pens. Now, what you'll find is, because we're going to do three drawing activities, you'll probably enjoy it more if you've got a range of drawing stuff. So if you have drawing stuff, bring that. If you don't, a pen is fine. So here's some drawing stuff, for example, that I just chucked in a tray. We've also got the opportunity to upload drawings. So you'll see on the right of the screen, in very small text, a link to the Dance and Creativity site for the Embodiment Channel, which I'm sure one of the others will pop up in the chat. It means because we're being live streamed there, and obviously everybody that's watching in Facebook, please do post your photos up, that's it, of your drawings. So this can be just a, you know, a smartphone, a snap, and an upload. Most of them, you probably want to do a little bit of text, and I'll guide you as we go, just to explain. And this is the first time I've done this on the Embodiment Channel, so thanks to the team for having me, because I was kind of like, oh, you don't have any drawing. You know, it wasn't there, so I've put it forward. So my name is Curie, and if you want to know how to say that, it's after Marie Curie, so that's who I'm named after. Or if you don't know who that is, then curiosity will do. So Curie is the way it's pronounced. I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, so, you know, get in contact with me, that'd be lovely. Okay, let's bounce away. I'm going to tell you why drawing and like my little journey with it. Oh, something has happened. Somebody has shared their screen. I need to start sharing my screen again. Okay. So I'm going to tell you my journey with drawing. And before I do so, this is what I hope you'll gain from it. So it'd be useful to know if this happens by the end. So I'm going to give you an introduction to drawing for embodied knowing. And I'm hoping that it provides you then with another tool for your own work, basically. We're going to have 3 slots of experiential drawing time and upload drawings onto that Facebook group. And then there's a discussion on chat. And so I am going to say to you, look, how do you think just at this point you're going to reuse drawing, or you could use drawing? And I'd love to know. So this is who I am. If we start at the top right. So I trained as a medical doctor. So at 18, I'm based in the UK. So while I was doing that, I also did another degree, which was in hard sciences, something called pharmacology, so high level sciences, or hard sciences they're called. And then I thought, I qualified and I got to teach medical students, and I really enjoyed that. So I switched career and I went into teaching, and I've been in teaching health professional students. And then more recently, I've been teaching essentially people that are training to be lecturers or facilitators. So I ran the teaching qualification and a master's in education. So in both those roles, I did do drawing. As a medical doctor, I did it perhaps to explain things. So to explain a procedure, to explain blood results, and in lecturing to teach concepts. So I did lots of cycles and circles and frameworks and pathways, those sorts of drawings. As an artist, I painted. I didn't draw very much. I do now. As a coach, I got people drawing. There's lots of models that you use in coaching. And then I learnt about drawing because I got a scholarship to do a PhD. And it was on how drawing can help to do with health and teaching. So that's when I got into drawing. So year one, I just spent learning to draw, which is a real privilege on something like a PhD. And now I am a drawing facilitator, I'm a coach, and I work in arts and health projects. And I've just got a job this week at Nottingham with medical students. So that's what I do. And so I draw, a drawing kind of permeates everything I do now. Okay, so. Could somebody tell me if I can move this control bar to the bottom of the screen and how I would do that? That'd be great. So this one is called, embodied drawing number one. This is called marks of emotions. So this is your first drawing. You just need a pen and a piece of paper. You're going to do all the drawings on one piece of paper. Okay, so here's my piece of paper and a pen. Or pastel. You're actually better off if you've got a soft material. Okay, relax, have fun, you'll be fine. So here I've got crayon, pastel, those sorts of charcoal will work best for this. Okay, so that softer material gives you more flex. I'm going to give you a few seconds, really a few seconds, to draw out a following list of emotions all on one page. So I'm going to say some words to you and I want you to draw them out. Now, I don't want you to, let's do an example. If I say something if I say fun, then I don't want you to draw like a sunshine, like a sun. No sort of icons or pictograms they're called. So basically this is embodying in a line or with dots or smacks or smashes or whatever, with mark making. So that's what that's about. So you don't need to draw me a picture at all. Please don't draw pictures. So in a few seconds, draw to the following emotions or feelings that I will say aloud one by one. I'm going to give you perhaps 3 seconds for each one. So I'll just explain the next bit and then I'll go into the words. So what I'm doing here, so at the bottom here, you've got this, the whole thing is about drawing things out of yourself. So this is about drawing out your feelings. Now, of course you're not, because I'm telling you what your feeling is, but you can then draw out your feelings for real. And if you draw them out, but what also happens is the other way around, that you can visualize something in a drawing and then embody the feelings. So it works both ways. We're only doing it this way around. So are you ready? I haven't got any gauge. So I'm just, I've got a yes. I've got Livia. I'm looking at Livia. I've got a yes. So here you go. Ready to scribble. There's quite a few. So after you scribble, could you just write down the word next to it? Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Fear. Happiness. Longing. Disgust. Tense. Joy. Solemn. If you're not sure about that one, let me give you serious as an option. So solemn or serious. Two more. Agitated. Powerful. And there we end. Okay, have your stuff in front of you. So let me show you what I did. So these are the words that my husband said to me, and so I didn't know what he was going to say. So that's what I drew. Now, this is the sort of drawing that I get into. I do nice, pretty drawings, but when I'm talking about drawings and using them for embodiment, it's this sort of thing that I'm talking about. So you can see that tense is very different to powerful. I liked doing powerful. Longing was quite a surprise, and I didn't think about these much either. So if you could take a photo and upload it onto Facebook, that's great. You could say something about it if you want to. So we're going to crack on. That's the fastest drawing technique. If this intrigues you, there is there is a Facebook group called Minute Drawings. So drawings that you do in a minute, but they aren't word provoked, but it's the same sort of thing. Quick drawings for 1 minute. And it was set up by some friends of mine. So if you are on Facebook, it's Min Draw NHS, but I read it as Mind Drawn NHS. So people post stuff every day on that. And that's really fun. So in the first year I did drawing of this PhD, but I also had to read about the theory. So it's a theory and practice. My PhD was mostly a theory based piece. So I needed to know the drawing, and I needed to find out, you know, a bit more about what I wanted to do in my research. So these are the two of the many, many quotes that intrigued me. I'm going to read chunks of it. So the thing that interested me was this idea that drawing needs to be reaffirmed as intelligent practice, which is as much about thinking, seeing, interrogating, and as inventing, and which communicates as intensely with others, as it refers to the effective self. So essentially, this was all about it's a thinking, it's an intellectual process. It's not a wafty thing. It's got real meat to it. But it's also very good at expression in terms of effective self. So our emotions is affect. And then the other bit I found, and I don't know, we've got lots of participants. I don't know if anybody is in architecture or design. In the literature, they talk really robustly about drawing. This is a designer, Terry Rosenberg. So the second quote, he talks about something that he has coined ideational drawing. And he it's quite repetitive, but basically he's saying it's a process. It's always in process. You've got thinking and action as thinking. And ideational drawing is as a process and as an artifact, i.e. the physical drawing at the end is the artifact. It is a thinking space, not a space in which thought is represented, but rather a space where thinking is present. So it was that captured me. I wanted to be able to set up some research and jump in and wrestle with it and research it. That was about thinking through drawing. So that's what I started with, if you like. This is a very, very simplified visual communication model, if you've probably come across this. So what I've got is I've got a picture of somebody, a person doing a drawing. So here's the drawing in the middle. A person has taken what they want to say, they encode it, or they transfer what they want to say into images, draw them. And then another person will have to decode it. So this is a receiver. So that's the language. I'm not that keen on it, but it's a bit like telephones, really, that what we would understand, or internet. So a sender and a receiver to decode. So there's there's three ways this can work. The first way is when there's a back and forth. So what might this be? This might be with a designer. I'll use a simpler example. It's like me saying, well, let's redesign this room. I need this. And so I'll draw something and then show my husband and he'll go, no, no, no. And then he'll draw something else. And then we'll keep shifting about. So in that way, it's two-way communication, a two-way drawing. So we're both having to understand, but we've got each other in front of us to check in. And so we go back and forth. Oh, that's somebody on? No, okay. So the other one, this is what most communication is. So visual communication this way is where somebody has done a drawing and then that somebody, the first person, disappears. All that's left is the drawing and somebody else, the receiver, sees the drawing. So giving you an example I think is affecting most of us around the world is COVID. You have probably seen what COVID looks like now because you've seen drawings of it. But you haven't got anybody, you haven't got the designer to speak to and say, what is this niggly bit? What's this bit? So it's one way. And that is critical because when drawings are done like that, they have to be unambiguous. They have to be clear to the person because the person receiving can't go back to the person drawing. So most visual communication is like that. Then there's another type where you draw and then it's like a feedback loop for yourself. Then you look at it and you go, oh, I see. Now, most artists, designers, architects, people that use drawing to design and sketch out their ideas, they will use this process. So, and that's basically the one that intrigued me the most. But I did it, but I'm more interested in self-knowing, that embodied knowing. So where you do stuff, you draw it, and then you realize something about yourself, and then you draw again, or you write. If you like, the one that I'm interested in, or the one that we're going to talk about, this sort of drawing, is probably similar to stream of consciousness writing, morning pages writing, if you've come across Julia Cameron. So it's that sort of thing is probably what I'm talking about. All three can happen. So I can explain something to myself, figure out something, and then talk to somebody else. I can then do a drawing about it and send it out on social media. So all of this stuff that I wanted to, my interest and all of this stuff that came out, emerged out of my snappily titled PhD. That's a snapshot of the front first page. So it was really about using drawing to think about aging. I'll tell you a bit more about project in a bit. So much like I said, the Terry Rosenberg talked about ideational drawing. I made up a new one as well. I called it generative drawing. And it's a very long quote because it's academic. But essentially, it's a process of mark making where stuff happens and emerges, and it's not linear thinking. So that's my phrase of inactive, emergent, non-propositional thinking. Basically, we draw stuff on the page and then we can see it, we can acknowledge it, we can do something about it. It also acknowledges that you might draw things that make no sense to you, that you don't understand what they mean, and that's fine. They potentially have a meaning. You're not going to know it straight away, maybe. And it's about process, it's about product, it's about drawing, it's about thinking, it's about reflection. So, second drawing time. This one, you need a biro would probably work really well for this. So if you like the previous one, we did a soft material. This one, you will just need, a standard pen. You could do it in fountain pen as well, or fine liner. So biro, fine liner, standard pen. And you don't want a big sheet of paper. So if you happen to have A4, just either section off a corner of it about 10 centimeters by 10. If you aren't sure about that, just keep dividing it. So I've divided it 4 times and once more to about that size. Okay, so you're only doing a small piece at the minute. I'm going to show you a video, and you probably recognize this. These are your standard sort of notes that note blocks that we have in the kitchen or somewhere to quickly scribble notes. So this one, you won't do as quickly as this video goes. So this one is to take you through perhaps another 5-10 slides, okay? So, and the reason I've sneakily put this in is that the research shows that doodling and drawing helps you remember. It helps your memory. There were lots of interesting bits to this. We can talk about it later. They did it with lots of different groups of people, and they just got people to, they gave people a list of words essentially, and then tested if they remembered them. And in every single group, those that doodled or drew, instead of writing the words out or instead of just trying to hold them in their memory, all of them did better. So doodle. Anytime you can, doodle. So I'm asking you to doodle now. But this type of doodling is a particular doodle. You can just doodle normally if you want. So on your small piece of paper, grab your pen and just section it off. And then in each section, just choose a basic pattern and fill it in. So you'll see me continuing. It's basically lines and curves. I've put some stars in one. I didn't actually like that one. I thought one space was too big, so I divided it back up again. Circles. You do whatever you want to do. I'm just going to let the video run to the end. But you get the idea. So you'll do this for the next 10, 15 minutes. But I would like you to listen at the same time. And my sneaky idea is that you'll remember more of what I say. But I'm not going to test you. I suppose I could. You'll see at the end of this, I've sort of deepened the lines. Okay. And what you realise is some shapes that you're really drawn to, some things that you're really intrigued by. And all we've used is black and white, or rather black. So it's quite interesting. So there are bits of that I don't like, but because it's so bounded and small, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. So, and it's quite joyful. It also may give you ideas. So the one that I'm pointing to, this sort of geometric, I really like that. I was like, oh, I'm going to do something with that. I haven't, but only because that was last week. So let's move on. Here's some of the drawings. These were the participants' own drawings. So I wanted to show you the style of drawing that came out. They're not pretty picture, put them up on the wall. Now, some of them are, but in the main, they are thinking drawings. So I'm not going to tell you what each one means. I'm not going to tell you how they did it, because that's a research thing. Although I have No, I have done an interview on the research process, and I can find you that link if you'd like that. So what you can see on the very left is a sort of typical snapshot. So we're just splooshing about with paint on that one. And here is one person's picture. So that was made over a 20-minute period, and then they could do some more work on it at home if they wanted to. And here's kind of all of the pictures. I'm going to show you an example of each one a bit later, so you get to see them. I just wanted you to have a feel that these are the sorts of drawings that I was getting people to interact with. So as my background, now a lot of you, I'm hoping, we've now got 89 people, a lot of you are way up on embodiment than I am. I came to embodiment through my research. I do, and therefore I hadn't looked at any of the theory at the beginning because I didn't even know it existed. Okay, and you probably find this with a lot of other people, they go, embodiment, what? So in order to do my research, I had to invest a lot of time in the theory, but the theory I looked at was about drawing, so drawing research. I looked at aging because I wanted people to think about their own future old age through drawing. So I looked at the aging research, I looked at visual research methods, and I looked at education because it was all about, the project was all about how we could use drawing for learning. So those are the remits that I looked at. What I set up was called the drawing program. There were two groups, and each group had two people who were students training to be health professionals and five people over 60. And they came together for 3 hours every week for 4 weeks. So basically an afternoon each week. And that made 12 hours of research per group. We did that sort of generative style thinking drawings, not quite sure what you're drawing. And then we met up again after 2 months. So each week we followed the same sort of pattern. So each week I gave people time to play with art materials, a bit like the techniques I've given you, right? We're going to doodle here. We're going to draw in this way here. So we just spent time kind of getting familiar with materials. And then I matched up, or I designed 5 activities, which was the research focus, that were related to aging. And as I say, I'll show you an example of each of those. So they did a drawing that was linked to aging, and then they told us, the group, what was happening in the drawing, the meaning of the drawing. So they said, oh, well, here is, I don't know what this is. Here is a tiger. This meant this to me. Here is a river. This is what it meant to me. And the group discussed it. So sometimes the group said, oh, it looks more like a road to me. And that was fine. And then I asked them to put their drawings up somewhere at home. And if any other thoughts came up about drawing or aging or anything else, let me know. So that's how it worked. Now, from the type of research I did, I had to produce an outcome model. I'm not going to take you through this, apart from to say, isn't it a beautiful outcome model? So my husband designed this, if you need a designer. And it is Russian dolls that all fit together. I've opened them up and spread them out. What I'm going to do today is just give you a snapshot of dolls 2 and 3, which is called embodied drawing. I had lots of information that was lots of academic information. I've taken it all out to shorten this. So there's so much here. So a big proportion was this embodied thinking. So people were able to do embodied thinking through this drawing. And there were 4 different parts. So this is in the research outcome, if you like, was a small part of it that was embodied thinking. And people with this sort of drawing, what came out was that there was a playful surrender to drawing. They didn't think drawing could be so absorbing and relaxing and interesting. So it was a very different type of drawing. Everybody was adults as well. So there was a playfulness. They also talked about something which stunned me because I didn't know. And they said, oh, the drawings, obviously nobody used these words, but these words are sort of overarching words, drawings that speak intuitively, they would say things like, well, I was looking at the drawing told me, or I felt I understood, or I just knew, or it just hit me, looking at the drawing. So the drawing spoke to people. Or actually, when they were looking at a drawing, they would remember the conversation that somebody else had said about their drawing or about their own drawing. So a memory of that. They also did this. I'm going to do this physically, so you probably need to see me. So all throughout this time, I'm waving my arms. I'm actually trying to be very controlled because I wave my arms a lot. So drawings in the air. So they'd say, oh, it was a really fantastic time. Or they'd say, I don't think so. So they would use their hands. And it was only because I took video. And actually, it happened by accident. I was analysing the conversation. But what happened was that I forgot to turn the sound on. So for ages, I was just looking at the screen going, I'm sure there's sound. But what happened is I could see people being really animated and chatting, and, you know, groups. And I started looking, tuning in to their body language. And I realized, or what I didn't realize, I made up this phrase that they are doing, that we draw all the time. So when I'm speaking to you, because I can see myself, I am moving my eyes, my mouth, my hands, the way I'm tipping my head, shrugging my, they speak volumes. So what I said was, actually, all of us draw all the time with body language. That's drawings in the air. And this drawings in the air, unless if you have a recording, you can capture it. But actually, most of the time, you don't capture it because you understand it, capture it in your head. You understand the meaning. So that's drawings in the air. And the other bit, the last bit, was drawings in metaphor. Now, if you work with metaphor or work in linguistics, this is Lakoff and Johnson's work about metaphors in the mind, metaphors we live by, drawings in metaphor. So they would, they'd do some drawings and they'd show a walking stick. And a walking stick on a drawing, if you say, well, what does that mean to you? It was usually things about frailty and old age and dependency. But all of that was within this image of a walking stick. So that's quite obvious. Or they'd draw a square, a window, so a square with a cross, and the meaning of that. So we got lots of metaphors. Okay. Here are some quotes. I just couldn't leave out quotes because I am an academic. Embodied thinking. Now, as I said, I didn't know these things before I started the research. So it was all a delightful surprise. And that's what research is, really. So embodied thinking, Lakoff and Johnson say, this is your brain, your body, and your bodily interactions. And it includes language and feelings and sensations. So Rora says, this is a body in space, and the body as it interacts with the physical and social environment, born into social and cultural milieus which transcend our individual bodies and time. So what it's basically saying is embodied thinking is shaped not just by your own body, but the body of the world that you are birthed into. So I've grown up in the UK. I'm first generation Asian from in UK. So mum and dad are from India. And I grew up for the first 7 years in Africa. So all of those things will affect the way that you think, as well as your body. So your social background, your cultural background. Polanyi's quote at the end was really helpful. Insights appear not just by looking, but by indwelling with them, the drawings, the images, and that we understand their joint meaning. And that was really important because that was happening when people were drawing. And they were dwelling or indwelling with them. If you are further into embodiment, then you would probably say, because I've learned more, the same about movement, that actually is in the movement that something happens and knowledge is created. This is the same thing, but it's movement on a page that leaves a trace. So those are my four sections. So that was the theory bit. Here's one quote from Amelia, not her real name. And she talked about this drawing process. She said, I used more of my senses than this sort of logical conscious level. I.e. when you think, it's all very structured and logical. But no, with drawing, I used more of my senses every time I was drawing. And remember the gestures I said were part of drawing. And because of that, I'll show you her gestures. Her gestures, which are in the brackets, gestures, different levels of air, she said, I used more of my senses. And you can see what that does. It's a ladder or a step, more of my senses. And because of that, I became more creative. I became more open. And very often, I didn't know what the final effect would be, what the final product would be. I have no idea. We didn't have much time to overthink. She said, overthinking. English isn't her first language. She said, I started to use the colours to express my feelings, which I hadn't done before. And I combined my feelings with the drawing. And I love this. Or the other way around. So I combined my feelings with the drawing, or the other way around. So here is a book that was quite helpful. It's less handily, it's £200 if you want to buy it. So I haven't got a copy. On not knowing how artists think. It was really helpful because it was all about how artists purposely go out, deliberately go out to try different techniques to access a zone of not knowing, that they willingly take themselves to places where they don't know. Because this lessened conscious control allows their creativity and their ideas to flourish. And therefore, artists are thinking through drawing. Now, that is an actual quote from page 7. So artists are thinking through doing. So thinking through drawing is my thing, because artists can work in any medium. I'm going to let you read some of this. I'm just going to take some water. Not some of this. Two more quotes. I'll come back to it. Sorry. Sorry about my slight distractions, because I'm getting distracted with my husband. We've got next door putting in cavity wall insulation as well. It's quite noisy here. So here it is. So here's the stuff. Oh, you've got some questions coming in. We'll come back to that. The work itself secures its own voice, and the maker is guided and, in fact, at times surrenders to the demands of the emerging forms. The act of representation is not merely a monologue. And that was quite exciting. It's not one way made manifest through an obedient response of material. The material itself speaks and creates new possibilities. I was so excited when I came across that in some literature. I was like, oh, it's here. Other people say this. And then Stuart Hall, I'll just do the bit of it, which is says that the power, the symbolic power, is in no sense restricted to the conscious level and cannot always be expressed in words. Okay, I think we're coming up to another drawing. Oh, here's some drawings from the research. I'm not going to tell you about much of that. So they're just single drawings from people. Collage, sorry, is also accepted as drawing, which is why it's collage. This is the image that I've shown you before. This was the final image. Okay, so you're now going to do some drawing. This one is a longer drawing technique. So by now, it's probably given you time to draw your little pieces. Now, even if you haven't, do you want to? Now, I can see very few of you, okay, just to say. Can you just show it up to the camera, just because that's fun?
Shuri, it's Alison here, just to interrupt, just to let you know, it's 1442. Perfect. So just set for that time piece, if you're saying we've got a longer bit of drawing to come.
Perfect, thank you for that. Okay, thank you for sharing, that's great. Right, so now we're going to go to another drawing. So you need here, if you've got a bigger piece of paper, A4 is fine. Then we won't be sending as long on this. Perhaps we'll do 3 minutes in 3 minutes. And using a piece of paper, if you've got an A4 piece, you're probably going to fill a piece of paper. So have two A4 pieces. If you have bigger paper, that's probably more fun. So here is bigger paper. Which you'll see what to do. So that's bigger paper, better. Lots of materials, better. Remember, I'm just going to give you an introduction to this, to think about drawing for embodied thinking, but you can just do this over more time. So you're going to take your piece of paper and you're going to halve it. Now, you don't need to fold it, that's what I do. You could just draw a line down the middle. You could just know where the halfway point is. But basically, you're going to do one drawing on half of it and then the other drawing on the other half. So, as I say, I'm in the UK. We read left to right. So I'm going to do the start first drawing on the left of the page. If you are in a country where you would read the other way, then you would do it on the right side first. Whichever side that you want to do it. Your point is just with some marks, map down your senses, your feeling about COVID. Now, where are you at with COVID, the whole COVID jazz? Don't use words, just marks. Okay. Where are you at? What are you feeling? Obviously, my video sped up. Actually, I'm just going to look at my stopwatch. I can see how long we're doing that. Where are you at the minute with COVID? Remember, you can spend more time doing this. So I'm going to pause. I'm going to give us 2 minutes. I'm going to stay quiet. Well, I might prattle because I prattle. So have a look at your drawing. You know, you might have used squiggles. You might have used circles. You might have used straight lines. You might have used jagged lines. It doesn't really matter. What else is in you? How are you feeling about COVID now, today? So we're just working on one side of the paper. And there's a lot of ways that drawing can work in times of weight of the line, movement of the line. Does it start off soft? Does it end up bold? Is it a bit like me kind of held in a space? And I couldn't even tell you what this meant. Some of that was bubbling up, but I was doing it just for the video. Is there something else you want to add? So we've got about half a minute left. So see if there's anything kind of, oh, that's missing. That's what I need to put in there. You'll know. Let the drawing speak to you. If it's all very tightly bound, do you want it to be tightly within a space? Do things want to actually come out? Do you want to break an edge? Okay, nearly done. I didn't say it, I'm sorry, but it's on the slide that if you stand and if you're using a piece of paper, if it's on the wall, you can be much more embodied. And that's just a simple thing because you use your arms. You can move much easier. And actually you don't draw as if you write, you draw with bigger gestures. Okay, I'm going to carry on the video. All being well, no. So your next point is on the other side. I pick a point in time, 2 years. Where do you want to be? It doesn't matter. Time is not the element. Where do you want to be? So imagine if you could, where do you want to be? Now we could all say, well, post-COVID, but let's not worry about that. Where do you want to be? Or where do you want to be? That's probably the emphasis. Same thing. Use whatever colours you want. You may find that your body wants to kind of copy the first one and you really don't want to, or the opposite, that it wants to be different, utterly different. So again, we'll do about 2.5 minutes. But remember, you can just do this anytime. So just to tell you, when so my husband was videoing this, this is the first time we've done these videos. And initially I just had pastels out. So we were videoing it live and then suddenly I knew I wanted pencils. No, I wanted pencils. And then I had to scrabble around to get my pencils. And then in this one, I wanted to smudge things. I wanted to the colours to blend, but I also wanted them to be clear. And so I went over things. And at this point he said, shall we finish now? Because we're about 20 minutes by now. I was like, oh, right, yes. But I was not ready to finish. Now I'm still dwelling and thinking and wondering about what this means. But I have to say, I just enjoyed it. So what you'll have now is you'll have two drawings. And again, if you could take a snap and pop it on the Facebook, that would be amazing. So COVID, then and now, here's what mine looked like. Obviously you could see that, it's just the final thing. I didn't do any more to it. So this is the sort of, it's very sensitive. This is the sort of process I use, kind of to think on the page, what does it mean? And then I put it up somewhere and I just see what comes up. I've used this, here are three, the same question really, during my research process, which was quite tumultuous and a torment, quite difficult, but it's supposed to be. So where am I at with my research? And that's these are the same thing, about 10 minute drawings at different times. Here's another way, and this is quite interesting because this I did with a group and I just wanted them to have some time to just kind of relax, and they didn't know each other. To tell me where they were at and for them to know, but to also let go of it so that we could move on. So I did a big drawing on, or rather a bit of paper, it was come as you are. And the question was, what are you coming with at this point? And this is what we ended up with. So I had pens. And apart from this being, it just felt a really rich kind of endeavor. So I'll do this with students. I'll get them to lie down on a piece of paper, draw around themselves. Obviously, I didn't do that here. Draw around themselves and then write down graduate skills. What do they want their students to know? What do you think graduates should know? And then we write them in the middle. And then obviously we discuss them. Okay, so coming to the end now, just to let you know, dun, 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 that after my research, what was lovely is that I was commissioned to do a book And I'm at the end of that. By at the end of that, I am due to submit it on Monday. I've got distracted making this presentation. So on Monday, I will submit the manuscript. It's due out next year. I think it probably takes 6 months or something. So it's in a whole series called Arts for Health. My one is called Drawing. But there's poetry, there's dance, there's drama, there's painting, film. Film is out now and reading is out now. So the titles might change, but you can see from the titles on the right that it's a bit of history, and then there's a research page, a research chapter, which was all the evidence for the benefits for drawing for health and well-being. So that's chapters 2 and 3. And then the rest of it is very practical. Well, what drawings can I do? And it's very much like I've done with you. But to be honest, I am a teacher at heart and I would much rather run a workshop. It's very odd not being hands-on, but I'd be interested in your thoughts of, did it work doing a workshop like this? And with a view to doing more in the future. So, and then I've got at the end of that drawing resources at the end of the book. So there's all sorts of things you can do with drawing. So coming into land, we had a group called, I set up a group called Drawing Edges, which two of our participants were part of, maybe there's more, Livia and Joseph. And we just sat about in a pub and we did different drawings. This was a drawing of perspectives. So this was really fun because we did a drawing and then after a few minutes, we all moved one seat. You know, we went round and then went round and went round and drew onto each on top of others' drawings. And you could see we were also having our drinks at the same time. There's some references here. You can come back to it if you get the recording. I've just put the 3 on there. Thank you for drawing with me. I'll say this and then I'll do another little prompt. Please pop them up on, please pop up the drawings on the Facebook page. For the COVID ones, if you want to write about, well, this is where I want to be, then that would be great. Please bear in mind the way you want to be is you can look at the marks, say, put them up on the wall and try and embody them into your body and see how you feel. And this is to do with Amy Cuddy's work on, her one was, sort of Wonder Woman stance. So it's about embodying things in your body, brings it into reality. My details are at the bottom on Twitter and LinkedIn. That's great. And if you are happy to, could you show us your COVID drawings? Perhaps just on screen. And I will stop sharing. So that we can see. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Kiri, I think we've got some amazing, incredible drawings there that you've inspired people with. Thank you for that. That's incredible session. We're actually out of time in terms of any questions, yes. Unfortunately.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's see.
What I suggest is perhaps if you do have questions, if they could put them into the Facebook group and then maybe you would be able to pick up any questions there. Would that be possible?
Yep, there's only 2 in the Q&A, so I'll answer them now. and otherwise I'll skim through the chat to look at it.
Well, yep,
your ideas are brilliant.
We literally have about 2 minutes left and I have to stop the recording.
Okay.
That's why I'm suggesting perhaps if you go back and you answer things in the Facebook group.
Right,
that would be really helpful if you could do that because okay. We just need to wrap things up. But I really appreciate the time that you've taken for the presentation. It's a wonderful presentation. You can see from the comments how much people have valued that. Rebecca has put in all the details into the group of the Facebook group, so please, everybody, do put your questions in there, and I'm sure Kiri will happily answer them and chat to you there about them. You can also join the main Embodiment Conference Facebook group. Please join a coffee break meeting if you want to discuss anything that's happening or your learnings. And of course, there is the opportunity to purchase the recordings of the whole conference afterwards so that you can look at not only this, but the other talks that you haven't been able to. And I've got a new little bit of information about that, which is if you still can't afford the current price and it is heavily discounted whilst the conference is still going on, You can also choose to donate to the conference or to one of the charities that the conference is supporting. So again, I think Rebecca can put those details in there as well so that you can catch up on all of those. Kyuri, I wanted to come back to you for the very last part of the session.
Okay.
Just to say, can you give us, what's your top tip for remaining embodied? How would you suggest, based on all these wonderful things that you've shared with us today, what would you share with everyone as your last kind of thought?
I think if you are, anytime you're unsettled in yourself, just draw it out and just say to yourself, I'll just either put it away so I can get on with it, or and draw in the air. So back to dancing again. So dancing in the air.
Perfect. That's a beautiful tip. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank Rebecca for doing the tech hosting for us and for keeping up with everything there. That's been wonderful. And again, to our sponsors for this session, but mostly to you, Kyuri, for a brilliant, inspiring session. I can see some amazing pictures coming through there. I'm personally really looking forward to seeing them on the Facebook group, and I'm sure that everybody else is. So thank you so much.
Thank you for hosting, Alison, and thank you for coming.